And you know, I'm very psyched that today is Pentecost. We were just talking about it. We've been studying that. We've been reading it. And Pentecost is, you know, five is Pent. Pentecost was 50 days after the resurrection that the Spirit was poured out. It was one of their holidays back in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, there was the death that came on Passover, and the Spirit poured out on Pentecost. And with Moses, when he gave the law, 3,000 died that day. And when the Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, 3,000 were saved that day. So we're hoping for the latter here today, that the Spirit would be poured out and that there'd be life here. Trying to find Thessalonians. We're in the book of Thessalonians. We've been going through Thessalonians. We're in chapter 2, going into chapter 3. And I just wanted to, I know some of you guys are visiting. The Thessalonians at this time, and what this book was written about, was they were in fear, thinking that that the Lord had already come and they had missed him, that the kingdom was here and they had missed it, and that they were in the tribulation somehow and they missed it. And Paul is encouraging them to that not to listen to those people that are talking about this, even if it was a letter coming from him. This is not true. The Lord is still coming back, and that's what we look for daily. And so I want to start in verse 13, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you." And let's do that. And Heavenly Father, we are obligated to thank you for what you have done in Nederland with the saints here, with the saints in this church, Lord, how you've one by one saved us. You brought us to you. By your Spirit, you've sanctified us. You've separated us. You've transformed us and are transforming us. We're looking forward to that day that we see you. You said you're going to bring us into and share your glory with us, and we can't even imagine that, Lord. We look forward to that day. But bless the hearers today. Father, we ask that you would pour your Holy Spirit out on us today, that you would open up our hearts, that there would be power from your word to change our lives, that we could live holy and godly lives and do the things that you're asking us to do. And we pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. That word is, in King James, it says, "We are bound to give thanks always to you, to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." And that word is obligated. And I wanted to read some verses about some of these things. There's another verse in Samuel. You don't have to flip there. It's 1 Samuel 12. And Samuel is speaking here, and it says, 12:22, and it says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people." And that's true to you too. I mean, that was written back then, and it was written to his people back then, to Israel. But God has not changed. He's pleased to make you his people too. Samuel saying, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." And I encourage you and plead with you to pray for one another. just like he's saying here, that it would be sin unto the Lord in ceasing to pray for each one of you. And I know that Dee taught us a good lesson of praying. I mean, every one of us, I believe, were in a deep kind of prayer for her, and it was quite a lesson. And that lesson is something not just to learn and put away, but to continue on with. And now we've got, you know, Doug with his healing, and each one of these people with their broken hearts and their hurts, and all y'all that, you know, that God would heal you and bless you, because he loves you. There's a verse in Romans 1:8, it says, "First I thank God, my God, through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is reported all over the world." And that's what he was praying for the Romans. You know, he says, "I'm bound to give thanks to you guys because this is what I'm hearing about you. Everywhere I go, I'm hearing about your faith," right? What a great report. You know, there was a testimony yesterday of, I don't know, 300-400 people in that room. The gospel was shared and there was Christians there and their faith was real. And that's what brought those people together. I mean, if it was just, you know, it could have been a whole lot different, but God was really proclaimed, I believe, yesterday. And I thank God for that. There's another verse in 2 Thessalonians earlier in this chapter. It's almost the same as chapter 1, verse 3. And he says, again, "We are bound or obligated to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and for the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Is that what you're feeling? That our love for one another is growing? We go through these things and we cry together, we pray together, we see miracles together, and our love for one another grows. It's good to see the Blakesleys back here. I mean, you know, you're part of the body, and we miss you guys. We miss any, pardon me?
We miss you guys.
Yeah, amen. All you guys, anybody that's visiting here, I mean, you know, I can go around and see different people in the room, and we love you, and the Lord really loves you. Here's some verses. If you got a pen, or you don't have a Bible, if you got a Bible, flip to them. If you got a pen, write them down and read them when you get home. But it says, "But we are obligated to give thanks always to God for you, beloved brethren, because God loves you." And I want to read some verses about that. The first one's in Deuteronomy 33:12. And like I said before, Deuteronomy 33:12. As I said before, he speaks some of these things to the Israelites, but God's heart toward his people has not changed. How he felt about them as his people, how he feels about you. And Heavenly Father, I just pray for healing over here. In Jesus' name. How he feels about you right now is he loves you so much. This verse was, he was speaking about Benjamin. He said, "Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders." He carries us. Right? He carried us on the cross, right? He loves us so much. Jeremiah 31, 3 and 4. Write these down. It says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O Jerusalem." I will build you up. Whatever you're going through right now is not going to be the way it is forever. He loves you. He's going to restore you. He's going to build you up. He's going to heal you. His thoughts for you are only good continually. This is Ezekiel 16, 8 through 14. It's pretty wild. He loves us so much. I just hope I can get through this. You know, a couple things, just for what everybody's gone through, it's so easy to get emotional and stuff now, but also, you know, with age, it happens. You know, you get a little bit older and you start getting, you know, doesn't take much to, you watch the weather on TV and you go, oh man, it's gonna be sunny tomorrow. And you, I mean, you know, it's just. Pardon me? 16, chapter 16, Ezekiel chapter 16, 8 through 14. And he says, later I passed by, and when I looked at you, I saw that you were old enough for love. I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. He entered a covenant, his covenant with us. I bathed you with water and washed the blood from you and put ointments on you. I clothed you with an embroidered dress and put leather sandals on you. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. I anointed you with jewelry, put bracelets on your arm and a necklace around your neck. He's dressing up his bride. That's us. We're his bride. He's dressing us up. I put a ring on your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. So you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were of fine linen, costly fabric, and embroidered cloth. Your food was fine flour, honey, and oil, olive oil. You became very beautiful and rose to be a queen. And your fame spread among the nations on account of your beauty, because the Lord's splendor I had given you made your beauty perfect, declares the sovereign Lord. It's not our beauty. It's nothing in us. It's the splendor he has given us, made us beautiful. You guys are beautiful because of what he's done in you. What he's doing in you. Romans 1:7 says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:12 through 14, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:10 through 12 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Amen. God really loves us. So back in Thessalonians, it says, but we are obligated to give thanks always to God for you, beloved brethren of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And this word kept coming back to me because it's in also 10 and 12 about the love for the truth. And, you know, there's nothing naturally in me to love the truth. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, I see an intersection with a light. And the thoughts that go through my head was, well, you don't even want to know that. But I think about, When you approach that, do you speed up thinking that if you hurry, you'll make it through before it changes? See, me too. Or do you slow down because you think ultimately it's going to change, and ultimately it will, and if you go slow enough, you will hit a yellow and then a red? Or, you know, what do you do when it changes yellow and you're just before it? What do you do? Do you stop? Do you go through it? And, you know, it's kind of a measure of, you know, truths, I guess, right? It's how you perceive this, right? I think about, you see these movies, you know, where the mafia hit guy goes to the priest and says, you know, Father, I sinned, I had to whack a guy, it's only business. You know, and you think in his mind, he measures truth somehow, right? He's got a measurement for truth. But for some reason, God put this thing in us where we would understand what truth is. Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" Pontius Pilate, he was a leader. He was a Roman political leader. He actually measured, and it was given to him, the material wealth coming from Egypt. He measured that, and you think of his standard. He's saying, "What is truth?" Yeah, a little in my pocket, you know, a little bit in there. You know, I mean, he rationalized. But for whatever reason, God did something in each one of us where he put a desire in our heart to know truth, to want to know truth. I want to know more truth. John, when in that conversation, I think I wrote it down. I hope I did. Didn't bring it. I have to look for it. I think it's, hang on a second. Toward the end of John. Yeah, so it's John 18, 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate says, "What is truth?" Did he not hear his voice? Was he not hearing? Jesus Christ was the prophesied Messiah, born in the lineage of David, born to a virgin that was prophesied. He lived a sinless life, and he went to the cross for each one of us. For me, for all you guys, he went to the cross. He died on that cross. He rose from the dead. And on Pentecost, he poured out his spirit that he promised that he would give a comforter. He would give another to come be with you and be inside you. This is truth. That is truth. That's in the Bible. This is what we believe. If you would flip to First John. There's a verse I was reading. I think it's in Proverbs. If you know it, shout it out. But he knows. There's another one. Let me read this before I go on. This is in Hebrews 4, and it says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes, under the eyes of him that whom we have to do." He sees everything. In Psalm 139, it says, "Before a thought is formed in my head, my brain," he knows it. He sees that thought coming before it even comes here. He knows the words that come out of my mouth before they're even formed in my mouth. He knows the attitudes of my heart before I even get addressed with the situation. He knows that. In 1 John, if you flip there, and I love this so much because John was the guy who laid his head on the Lord's breast at the Last Supper. You know, he loved the Lord. You know, when he was writing about himself, he says, "The disciple whom the Lord loved," right? He was intimate with the Lord. He suffered some great persecution, Revelation. he wrote 1 John, and this goes quick, and I'm not a great reader, but you know, I've read this so many times because I love it so much, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, if you're there, turn there. I mean, it's better if you if you're reading it yourself, but chapter 1, verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning. Who was that?
Jesus.
It was Jesus from the beginning, right? When was the beginning? It was before the creation of the earth, right? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we've looked on, and our hands have handled. They hugged him, you know. They probably helped him up when they were climbing. You know, there was a real relationship with these guys. I know us, and we clown around. I mean, who doesn't clown around a little bit? I don't know who doesn't, but you know, they probably clowned around with the Lord a little bit, don't you think? I mean, you know, they were calling each other the sons of thunder, and I mean, you know, you just look at Peter's life and you know he was a clown. But anyhow, he says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled the word of life. For this life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. There is a dash after that word. I don't know if you see it. Is it in your Bible? You see that dash? Mm-hmm. When you see a dash like that, it is a punctuation, and it's like Selah in the Psalms. It's a period of time where you just stop and you go, okay, that's what he's talking about. Okay, I got it. But that was the way it was written. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, that these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message. Here's the message. This is what it's all about. I'm going to break it down. Here's the message. This is what he's saying in verse 5. That which we heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. I'm going to go on, but that right there, He shines His light on us daily. Moment by moment, He shines His light. And in that light, there's different things that appear to us. When we recognize, and sometimes it's something, you know, let's just say it's that traffic light. Let's just say that, you know. I have to deal with what I'm getting from that light. I have to deal with that. Somehow I have to either blow it off or I have to go, that's right. I need to change the way I am. I have to change the way I look at something. Why do I stay there? What's the issue? Sometimes it's not always that. Sometimes that light, when it's shining on you, is I love you so much, and you just are overwhelmed by God's love. That's what that light is. To take that word and say, I don't want anything to do with that, is not loving the truth. And what he's saying in Thessalonians is you guys love the truth, right? Where did that come from? Why is it that we're sitting here today? We're sitting here today because we love the truth, but where did that come from? When he was knitting us together, where did that come from? Why is it that other people don't love the truth? Why is it? I don't get it. Upsetting. The people I love don't want to hear about Jesus, don't want to hear about the truth. And for whatever reason, something in us attached And I know it was through pain and things that we went through in our life that we were finally open enough to reason with God and to hear that His Son loves us and He died for us and He wants to live for us and live in us and have a relationship for us. Why do we hear? Thank you, God, that we hear. Thank you, Jesus. You opened us up. Thank you, Holy Spirit, and don't stop talking to us. In Jesus' name. He goes on to say in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. 1 John is just, it's so simple. He had such a great relationship with the Lord, and how it came out was just, and I said this before, I've heard that he was as an old man, they would help him up to the whatever podium or whatever they had, and he would just say what he said in 1 John, Jesus loves you. That's the message. Jesus loves you. You know, so we're back in Thessalonians in chapter 2. What I read is that the Lord loves you and is sanctifying you by His Spirit and the belief of the truth. And that's how I went out on that little thing. Well, just before it, it says, you know, that the people of this world that don't love that truth, in verse 10, it says that the enemy, Satan, is going to come. Verse 9, even him with whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send upon them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Lord, right now we pray for them. We pray for those family members, for those people that we associate at work with, those people that you bring into our life, maybe just for a moment, that we have an opportunity to talk with. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit wouldn't give up on them, that you would open up their hearts, Lord, and that they would love the truth and come to the knowledge of a saving Christ in their life and be saved. We pray that in Jesus' name. I didn't look at the time when I started, so I have no idea where I'm at. If, okay, she's saying keep going. Well, that's, I mean, I was done, but, you know, I can make stuff up. I do want to go someplace. Here's a couple more verses on belief of the truth. Ephesians says, for it is by grace that you've been saved, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, through faith, and it is not of yourself. And just what I was saying, it's not anything of me that came to that point in my life. God had mercy on me and brought me to that point in my life where I would, you know, whatever, cave or be open enough to hear him, just to hear him. My question was to these guys, if Jesus is God, he can prove it to me. And they said, why don't you just pray that? And I prayed that. I said, Jesus, if you're really God, because I was into all this Eastern stuff and all this, you know, a lot of other alternative things, prove it to me. And he did. And it was just at the right time. And I know that he knows the right time for every single person. And if you're here today and you don't know that, be honest enough just to ask him that one thing. If you're really God, show me. Show me that. And have a conversation with him. It says, through faith that is not of yourself. Even that faith to speak to him initially is not of ourselves, it's from God. It is a gift of God, not by works, so anybody can boast. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. James 1:18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of God. I'm struggling with how that's reading. By the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for his creatures. And I'm still getting some clarity from Lawrence about that. By faith in Hebrews 11, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which were visible. The word of God, that truth, spoke the worlds into being. And that word of truth, this word, keeps that us going in this world. We need this word of truth to keep our lives going. The last one I read already, it's 1 John 1:1 through the end of the chapter. I'm going to read a couple more verses and then I'm going to end here. The rest of this is, and Doug covered it, but I wanted to go on just one more verse. So if you could, it says in verse 14 in Thessalonians, it says, unto which he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obtaining of the glory. We are going to obtain that glory that he was glorified in. D. Long is in glory right now. Wow. What she's seeing right now. And then he's coming back with his church, with his bride that's ordained, like it talked about, back to this earth. And we with him in his glory. That's so, I can't even, we get hung up on the things of this world in our daily life, and we get so stressed out, and we get, we snap, or we, something happens. And this world has an effect on us that it shouldn't affect. It affect us that way. This word should affect us. That coming glory should affect us. It should affect our life. I see that picture of Dee. Take a glance at it when you leave. Her eyes, even I know after she had cancer, her eyes, you could just see that hope of glory behind her eyes. It was so encouraging all the time, all the time. Amen? It says in verse 15, it says, therefore, brethren, stand and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And Doug talked about those traditions. They're not the traditions we might think of, because they weren't even established back then. And even the word, Thessalonians was one of the first books of the New Testament written. I think Matthew and Mark, and I know Lauren is going to talk to me about this too, but I think 1 and 2 Thessalonians were the next couple books that were written in the Old Testament, these letters that came to these guys. So what he was telling them to do, let's go back, search the scriptures, go back to the Old Testament, see what it says about Christ, see what it says about that hope of glory. Verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and Father, even our Father, who has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word and work. And I realize that in the last couple months that way that God comforted me, I didn't need comfort until some events happened where I had made room for comfort. And now I need comfort, and God is comforting me. And I pray God that he is you're experiencing, every one of you guys are experiencing that comfort that he has for you in what you're going through. This is the verse I wanted to get to. It's chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may be have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Paul, the writer of this, is saying, pray for us, right? And, you know, we've been praying for Doug that, you know, the moose doesn't get in no more and that he heals up, that he's comforted and stuff. But, you know, and I was talking to Peter, you know, what they want is the word, right? There's practical things, and we can always look for those things. But what he's saying here, what these guys are wanting, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, that the word can get out. Bottom line, when everything is stripped away, I know Doug's heart, and that's that the word of God would have free course in this town. That the Lord could be glorified through the word the same way he's already been glorified in your life. That's verse one, and I would read that again and pray about it. And again, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you put a hunger in us to know the truth about you, the truth about me. Lord, I want to know. I want to open up my heart that you don't have anything blocking you, stopping you from speaking the word of truth to me. And I pray, Lord, for those that have the opportunity to preach the word, that the word would have full course in this town and wherever that travels for our visitors in their town, that the word would have full course, that the word would be spoken, that there would be fruit. We praise you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.